In the name of the one God, living and true, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As many of you may know, I hail from that area that's called Western New York. It's where I was born, I was raised, educated, even went to college there, and seminary as well. So I'm fairly familiar with it. One of the places that is most popular in that area, in fact, it's one of those places that is so much in the awareness of those who live there that we don't think about it, is Niagara Falls. Now, many of you, I'm sure, may have gone there in your lifetime. Years and years ago, it was known as the honeymoon capital of the world. But since then, with good travel and easier ways of getting around, that has since sort of fallen by the way, except for those who sort of want to keep that tradition alive. But the real attraction is the place where the Niagara River falls over the escarpment that is there, the escarpment that runs parallel to what we call the Erie Canal, which is the area where I was raised, and is a different height than the lake below. There are five great lakes. Yes, this is a bit of a geography lesson. And all of the water of the four upper Great Lakes makes a transit down what we call the Niagara River up to the place where the escarpment changes height. And there, all of the water flows over the edge. It must have been an awesome sight for those first explorers from Europe who came and saw this for the very first time. Though, of course, the Native Americans who lived in the area, this was part and parcel of their life. In fact, they saw extreme religious significance in the power of the water. In fact, if you go today and look at it, you can't really understand how powerful it really is. Because over the last century, beginning around the year 1900, much of the water was diverted. And it fills great reservoirs and then is sent by canals and channels to great turbines that turn because of the force of the water as it plummets down and creates electricity. It is the original green electrical production. About 90% of the water is diverted. So if you go now and you are awed by what's there now, imagine what it might have been like before we got technologically savvy and all of the water went over the edge. Some marvelous little tourist things there. You can go on the American side to this little area called the Bridal Veil Falls, where there's an island in the middle of the river, and it sort of diverts a little narrow bit of the water over, and it looks like a bridal veil, and it comes splashing down and then onto the rocks below, and actually you can walk behind it. And in walking behind it, you see the veil of water in front of you. And in another place, on the Canadian side, there's another attraction that's called the Cave of the Winds. Because what's happening is as the water is coming down, this cold water, it displaces air and actually other air rushes through. So you can be in this cave, which is rather large, and suddenly you feel wind when there's no wind outside. Sound familiar? And then there's my favorite spot. which is actually on the Canadian side of the falls. You wouldn't notice it probably if you nobody pointed it out to you, because there's no marker, there's no tourist trap there, there's nothing, none of that sort of thing. All it is a spot. And it's at the very head of the falls, at the very brink of the falls. And as you look over, the water is not more than maybe 10 or 20 yards away. You see it move. And it is crystal clear. And because there's not as much as used to flow there, you can actually see the bottom, see the rocks of the escarpment. And you can begin to see the depth of the water. And a very strange phenomenon occurs. If you're standing there and you're gazing down at this, it's almost as if the water is beckoning you in. Come in. Come in. And it looks inviting because from the outside it looks like a stream that we might see in one of our fields nearby here. A brook, perhaps, with clear water and the bottom clearly visible, and you know that you could wade across, you could put your foot in and get across without much problem. But if you put your foot into this, it is terribly deceiving that you would be carried away, and not far down the river, but rather you would be carried right over the edge and fall some 300 plus feet to the rocks below. Needless to say, few people would survive such a plunge. And so it sometimes takes a bit of discipline and a bit of waking you up to an awareness that you don't actually get drawn in. I love that spot. Because right there it is quiet. With the roar of mighty waters all around you, which is so evident when you're under the Bridal Veil Falls, or you're walking through the Cave of the Winds, or any of the other places where you can observe the falls, right there, it seems strangely silent. Because all of the energy of the falling water is over there, and all you have here is the river moving forward. I give you that picture because I think in many ways that speaks to us of what we reflect upon today. The life of God, the inner life of God. Awesome, powerful, yet strangely peaceful and calm. Capable of working great destruction, capable of bringing peace of mind and soul. We celebrate today the Holy Trinity, a cornerstone of our faith. And for centuries, theologians have tried to explain this to people. You know, we have all this stuff. We talk about the hypostatic union, and we talk about modalism, and we talk about all these different things, theological positions in the church, trying to understand this. But you know, this thing about the Trinity, it isn't meant to be understood. If we seek to understand it, that's fine. God gave us the gift of reason to try to figure things out. But if you really want to understand, or I should say comprehend the Trinity, maybe not comprehend, the word is better said apprehend the Trinity, wrap your mind and your heart around this thing, maybe it's just like standing at that spot at the head of the falls. Just stand there and experience it. That's what we are doing today. We are coming here not to have a theology class, not to try to figure it all out, but to simply experience the awesome power of God. As God has called the prophets of old, as we heard from Isaiah today, as God has sent the apostles out into the world to preach the good news of Jesus, and as has God in his great wisdom sent us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we here now have the capacity to stand at the head of the river and simply stand in awe. Stand in awe of the great power. Stand in awe of the great beauty. Stand in awe of God. And maybe revealing God's self in this mysterious, almost can't understandable way. Three persons in one God, all of that. Maybe it's to make us realize that we can, no matter what we know or how well we understand, we never grasp the whole of God. So the invitation that we hear today is to grow deeper, to go longer, simply by staying there, simply by sitting there, standing there, kneeling there, whatever position you want to take, just be in the presence of God. There is no need to go to any special place. This kind of feeling is the feeling that has inspired mystics, Christian mystics through the centuries. We could start to name them all, but again, no need. Because they all had the same experience. Through a lifetime of dedicated prayer and meditation and contemplation, maybe, just maybe, God gave them a gift of one instant, a glimpse of God's true nature. And as they came away from that, they were forever changed and transformed, very much like Isaiah in our first lesson. And they spend the rest of their lives trying to recapture that moment, so powerful the draw. We have glimpses of that in our own lives. Maybe the last time you stood before a piece of art that just blew you away. Or maybe it was as you looked west in the evening and you saw the colors changing from blue to lavender to purple to orange to red as the sun was setting, and you just were breathless in watching it. Or maybe a composition of music that upon hearing it just lifts you out of your soul, out of your own self. I've had those moments, to be sure. And in fact, when it's happened to music, I go right out, and we don't buy CDs anymore, but that's what I would do, is I would buy, and I'm really old, I would buy the LP and then buy the CD. And of course, now you have to download it onto your iPod, but I do, and I listen over and over and over again, and I look for that same experience, and I never recover it. Because it's a gift of God, and we can't manufacture it. We can't make it for ourselves. It comes to us as God opens the heavens, and just for a moment, an instant, we experience the mind and the heart of God. Lovers know this feeling. When they give of themselves one to another in the course of their entire life, and then in that one moment of ecstasy, they are united one to the other in a way they can't imagine, because they lose control of themselves. And maybe that's why God doesn't give it to us that often, because if we lost control of ourselves, there would be no controlling the world. But we do need to remember it. We do need to reflect on it. And we do need to put ourselves in a disposition that on seeing it, on hearing it, on feeling it, on experiencing it, we see God. Yes. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. That Trinity, that life, is all around us. Don't try to understand it. Simply take what you need to live it. And you will ever want more, ever want to go deeper, ever want to put your foot in that water and be carried away by the life of God.